Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com for more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
Brother,
thank you. Very kind of you to make me feel so welcome. Happy President's Day. How many of you knew it was President's Day today? Two of us? Wow. Anyway, I want to minister this evening on a subject that's vital to you, your family. By the way, turn to Luke chapter 18. You, your family, your church, your ministry, and I'm talking about spiritual deliverance and turning the tables on the powers of darkness and hell. The psalmist writes in Psalms 120, verse 7, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I don't know if you've considered this, but David was not a born warrior. So he's given us this testimony. I was for peace, but when I minister, I speak, and I simply live, I'm getting these reactions of forces that are coming against me to assault, to attack. You know, David was a kinder, gentler soul. He was the known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's a poet, man. He's not like, you know, the gang members and throwing down all the time. But God did something for David, and God will do this for each one of us here tonight, and that is he will teach our fingers how to fight. There is no such thing as victory without conflict. God wants to give each one of us enlargement. God wants to help us to experience breakthrough, fruitfulness, prosperity. You know what? If you're in the ministry, he wants you to have success in helping people get set free. He wants your marriage, your family to flourish, your wife, your children to be spiritually prosperous and saved. But we've got to know something, and that is that any attempt that you and I put forth to possess our promises and our promised land, just like in the days of old, the people of God in old, they had to go in and possess it. It's given to them. God has, he has circumscribed the promised land. It's absolutely, the title deed is to Abraham and his descendants, but he didn't clear the mutant giants out. He didn't knock the walled cities that seemed to be walled to heaven that blocked them. And it's no accident that the very first step into the promised land, they're faced with walls of Jericho that are opposing their advance. And Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus Christ sums up the whole issue in one succinct statement, and he says these words, and he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I want to minister on triggering God to enter the fray. Thank God, gentlemen, we are not in this fight by ourselves. The war that I speak of tonight, I know it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against real adversaries. So follow with me in Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I don't fear God, nor do I regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith upon the earth? God, we're just pausing, and I'm asking you to flood this place. I'm asking you, God, to take the words of thy servant. God, I want to be like a spiritual mailman. I want to deliver, God, what those things that you poured into my heart, this day and in days past. I pray, God, that men's hands are going to be strengthened, God. God, they're going to be able to run through a troop. They're going to be able to leap over the wall. They're going to be able to take on the Goliaths of this generation. And God, we're going to see enlargement and deliverance through the precious victories of Calvary's cross and our precious Lord Jesus Christ, captain of the armies of heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. God's people, men say. So we want to look at God's deliverance for his people. You know, the subject of deliverance is a fascinating subject. Ought to be something that resonates with every one of us, because if you're here tonight, you're in your right mind, you're heaven bound, you have been the recipient of a measure of deliverance. I say a measure of deliverance because I believe there's a lot more land to possess in that regard. You know, the whole book of Exodus deals with this, and it gives us a very poignant account. The people of God, again, it's an old, tired story. They go into Egypt. Every time in Egypt, mention Egypt, it's always you go down. You notice that? Down into Egypt, the picture of the world. They welcome them into the land of Goshen. It's a good land. It seems to be pleasant for them. But then quickly the story, the narrative changes because they turn on them and they take them as slaves and begin to use them as chattel, human chattel. Build the treasure cities of Ramses, and they are very acquainted with the lash of the taskmaster's whip and the snap and the degradation, the humiliation, the violating of their women folk and all that would be there. And so naturally this has produced an outcry, and a great symphony is struck as people, the Jewish race and the Jewish people begin to cry and groan and call, God, help. God, we are being tormented. God, we are being hurt physically, spiritually, mentally, sexually, poverty, all that's going on. And God, we have tormentors that have made it their business to be in our business constantly. And we're talking about both the physical variety as well as the demonic. I want to tell you something. God will not always tarry. The judge of all the earth shall do right. The judge of all the earth will take the field. And he is willing, and this is really the thrust of this message, is for you to see how willing, and then to cooperate with that, to trigger it, and to detonate the power of God on our behalf as the people of God that are unjustly and wickedly opposed by the demonic and by the physical. So what I want to examine is that it's one thing to talk about that. It's another thing to experience that, where our hearts, just like the people of God of old, when they got delivered from Egypt, later on from Babylon, their hearts rejoiced. They broke out in song and dance and rejoicing. And you know what? I want men in this place to have that experience. I want you to have the genuine experience breaking out with joy in your tongue. Amen. The instrument of the pen of a ready writer, as a psalmist said, rejoicing God. You know what, God? I have been through this thing. This thing has been on me, against me. I've felt the clammy grasp of some foul demon, the messenger of Satan that has buffeted my life in certain channels or certain dimensions. And oh God, you know what, God? I know that you, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, you have taken the field. You have entered into the arena, God, and you have turned the tables on the wicked one. And I'm going to rejoice with a new song composed from a thankful heart. You know, it's good to consider what are the conditions that legitimately we have the right to appeal to our God for help and to seek his intervention. You know what? I want to balance this, because we're never to seek to use God to do hits on people we hate. You know, somebody rubs you the wrong way and they give you a bad look in traffic. God, get them. Smoke them. I've been tempted. You know, that really, if you just get real, that's the realm of voodoo. That's the realm of witchcraft, of divination, where you seek to hex somebody or put a curse on people. And you know what? We see a biblical example of when the unsaved tried to do this and put the whammy on Israel. Back in the day when Israel's going through the wilderness, or they're heading to the promised land, King Balak of the Moabites, he hires the chief warlock of that day. His name was Balaam. And God absolutely would not, he would not countenance that. He would not hear a word of that. And so here's this foul warlock that is expressly hired to put the hex, the whammy on Israel. And he's forced to say, Numbers 23:23, you should know this, by the way, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? So this assures you and I that, you know, we are not to be the target of God-sanctioned hexes. Yo, Pastor, so-and-so put the whammy. You know, if you put the whammy on me, you're an idiot. Because there's a boomerang. And it's coming to a neighborhood really close to you. And that doesn't mean that there's not people that try. I'm just simply laying the groundwork. But let's make very clear that we're not talking about making God your errand boy and dispatching him like a gang member to go off and hit somebody for you. That is not endorsed, but that does not mean that the devil is not active to send people against us, to send people to trip us, to hurt or harm us. And in Bible days, all through the Bible speaks of this spiritual dimension. The Bible speaks about demon power. The Bible speaks about dark arts. And we have in For example, in the book of Acts, chapter 8, Philip goes to Samaria to preach the gospel, and as he's having success, and sure enough, it flushes out like quail out of the covey. It flushes out this man, and his name is Simon the Sorcerer, and he is somebody that has bewitched the people. These people with these practices are around. Paul encounters in Philippi, Acts 16:16. There's a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, metas, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Paul, in another occasions, ministering Elymas, also known as Bar-Jesus, he comes to oppose. He's and not just simply speaking words, but loosing spirits. And so this is a very common encounter that we have in the New Testament. And so just saying, I'm not trying to make people paranoid, but you know what? It's a worthwhile study to know our rights and to seek out help when you are personally being wrongly persecuted by evil and wicked men, wicked women, Jezebels, and they seek our hurt, they seek our destruction, our misery, our failure, simply because they are moved by the principles birthed by sin and by evil. You know, there are such people. I believe that there's many that fit into that category. But we need to distinguish. You need to distinguish when you're witnessing and you take a hit for the team. Oh, can I give you something to read about the love of God? And they take it and they throw it in. Wow, man, I curse. No. Make sure you get the whole tape if you're out there. I'm not talking about when you're ministering for the gospel. We all call to, you know what, turn the other cheek, go the second mile. There's times when you're going to encounter gospel persecution. That comes with the turf, you know what? And we ought to bear that, and we ought to count that a badge of honor. Consider it, you know what, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven, Jesus taught us. There's a time to be passive in the face of evil. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about another whole realm. You know, you don't have to be out preaching on the street or ministering the gospel directly, one-on-one witnessing, to have evil forces rise up that simply hate you and mark you and want to come against your life. Unless you live in a hole in the, you know, in the mountain someplace, you know what? The moment you get saved, the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a target for such forces, whether you like it or not. And I want to distinguish, you know what? We're not talking about trying to curse people and just because you don't like them, just because you're irked that they don't like you, or they don't they don't whistle Dixie when you snap your finger. We're not talking about manipulation. We're not talking about any kind of witchcraft. Witchcraft is the work of the flesh. We would define witchcraft as somebody that's trying to impose their will. Their will to dominate somebody else. That enters into a spiritual dimension, gentlemen. And we're absolutely not talking about that. But what we are talking about is that forces that come against our life that begin to attack us they're at work to oppose and hinder our lives, to see us hurt, to see those that we love hurt, our wives, our children, our children's spouses, our children's children, our grandchildren. And you know, one time I'm in the Philippines we're going through an intense firefight. There was a very, I would say it was one of the most intense spiritual battles of my entire ministry, certainly up until that point in time. And I was getting very fatigued, I must tell you. I was getting very, very depleted. I was at that point where I felt like, God, maybe I've lost, maybe I need to be evac'd out of here. God, I feel like I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm being hit from so many different angles. And there were some circumstances. I'll go into that a little bit later. But what the point that I wanted to drive home is that I was in prayer, and I kind of call that when I was whining to God. Oh, God. You know, when you get that warble in your voice, oh, how long must, and all of a sudden, God, you know, God, he doesn't mind just cutting you off and just breaks into your prayer stream. And God spoke to me, and he said these words to my heart. He says, you know what, he that touches you, touches the apple of my eye. Now, you're going to have to make a decision right now. Either you believe the word of God literally, or you're going to just explain it away, symbolism, everything. But the pupil of your eye is the black part in the very center. And so he that touches you, just touches you with bad intent, just glances and touches you with bad intent, basically God says you are poking God in his eye. Does anyone want to come up here and tell me you love that? If that's what you know turns you on, I'll poke you in the eye. So we can just, I just want to see your reaction when you get poked in the eye. As for me in my house, we don't like to be poked in the eye. So what God said, you mess with my people, you're poking me in the eye. And so.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. Pastor, man of God, your wife left everything to follow you in your dream. Are you going to leave her with nothing? The Bible says he who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. As men of God, we're ready to stand before God due to tragedy at any moment's notice. But what about our families? What happens to them if we were to die? There's an easy financial solution so that they don't have to go through poverty or destitution. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.
I'm going to take that literally because I felt like God impressed that upon me literally. You know, our problem is we don't sometimes really... let the meaning of Scripture or the, you know, the emphasis of Scripture, how emphatic God is about things, and according to your faith be it done unto you. If you're just ho-hum, if you love to be a punching bag, if you love to be steamrolled by hell, and you don't have any gumption to rise, you don't have any spitfire inside to get PO'd and say, you know what, enough. That aggression is not, it's not called for. One thing, if you get, you know, Peter said, if you get smacked around because you're guilty, if you're a slouch, if you're doing bad things and you get hit with stuff, he says, then you know what, it's your own fault. But there's a lot of stuff that we are like sheep for the slaughter. And God spoke to my heart and began to give me some light. And that unleashed a whole rush. I call this a rhema dump. When the word of God, rhema, God's particular word, and he began to just flood me and showed me an inspired teaching, I would say, about deliverance and even enlargement. And God showed me that I want to turn the tables. I want to intervene on this. I am concerned, just like the people of God in Exodus, God heard, it says he heard their groans. He saw the abuse. He came down personally to witness and to take a note of what was going on. And God helped me to understand that he still is willing to do this. And he wants to get invited into the fray. He wants to be loosed into the battle. Psalms 44, you ought to write this down. If you're tracking and if you're going through anything, You know what? We're not called to just simply be a punching bag. We're called to possess the promises. We're called to punch back. We're called not to be mammy pammies that are just run over. Psalms 44, verse 1. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a maskil, which means teaching. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work you did in their day, in the times of old. How you did drive out the heathen with your hand and you planted them. How you did afflict the people and you cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thy arm in the light of thy countenance, because you had a favor unto them. You are my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through you we'll push down our enemies. I love that. Through you, we will push down our enemies. For thy name, we will tread under those that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies, and you have put them to shame that hated us. In God, we boast all the day long, and we praise thy name forever. Selah. What does Selah mean? I'm glad you asked. It means stop, pause. Think about it. So God is saying, not only did I just tell you something powerful about the intervention of God, but I want to put a speed bump, stop. Stop and don't just speed read through those scriptures. Think about what was just declared or revealed. You didn't gain the victory. If you're going to have real victory, if you're going to have real spiritual success or fruitfulness, it's going to be because God gave it to us. Can we say amen? So we can rightfully expect that, yet there are factors in this equation that need to be recognized and need to be sought after. Point of fact, this is a crucial element that it needs to be developed in all would-be deliverers. I don't have time, but I encourage you, go back and read the story of Moses. And Moses was to be the man. He had some ups and downs and took some curves in his journey to being a deliverer. But God wanted to prepare this man. And the truth of the matter is that Moses needed deliverance himself before he could be a deliverer of others. And so do I, and so do you. Amen. Because I want to tell you, if you're going to enter into the realm, the arena of trying to help people get set free, this is probably going to be a curveball for some people, and that is the moment that you try to rise up to be used by God to set the captive free, you're probably going to encounter that things get worse before they get better. That's same thing out of the book of Exodus. It's God, totally is God. It totally is God's will. Let my people go. But when he goes in, and you got to say this about Pharaoh, and the old preacher used to say Pharaoh. You got to say this about this opponent that we fight, and that is that he is stubborn, and he doesn't just give up. He doesn't, wet his pants when we come to town, and when we start to pray or we start to determine that we're going to see enlargement, he doesn't just, I give up. Those Christians are getting serious now, and I just better go find somebody else to vex now because they're on to me. Actually, you got to do a study. The devil likes to fight. He gets the stuff in, but I remember kids like that. No, I remember kids that used to, you beat the dog out of them, and then the next day doing it again, it's like they don't have any sense in their head. Does anyone know those kind of people? Andy from Mayberry, you know who I'm talking, and so the point is that you're going to have to put up a fight. And so remember this, out of the Old Testament picture book that God gives us in Moses, when he goes to throw down with Pharaoh, remember Pharaoh is a type of Satan, but he has two lieutenant goons one on each side of him, named Jannes, which means he vexes. The names of Scripture mean something. It's a window into the spirit behind it. It's not just Tom, Dick, or Harry. It's Jannes, he vexes, and Jambres, he opposes. So here you have a revelation. You're going to try to get God's people out of the bride of Christ. You're going to try to get them out of Egypt, the world. Let him go, devil. You know what? I'm going to minister the gospel. I'm speaking hope to these people. And so here's these two goons, Jannes and Jambres, and they step in, and we're off to the races, because there was a number of chapters before they finally said, you know what? We're outgunned. We're outdone. And so, you know, remember something. Whenever you step up, there's going to be some forces of hell. And actually, there's an old saying that we used to have. You don't hear this too much anymore. And that old saying was, if the devil don't fight it, I don't want it. Now, you got to be half crazy to say that, because you're going to get in some scraps. And some people already, I just feel this prophetically, some of you sniff where I'm going, and you're already saying, uh-uh. You're already doing the ostrich move on me, because you already know that if you take hold of what I'm preaching, that means you're going to have some fighting to do. But it gets better. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, for a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries. A couple sayings for you to file away. New levels, new devils. New boundaries, new battles. You can count on it. And so that's a factor. When we move into new territory, take new thing. Philip, when he was in Samaria, there's a demonic plant. I mentioned Simon Magnus. Paul, he's in Philippi. Here comes a demonized damsel she's muddying the waters. Paul, when he begins to testify to Sergius Paulus, then here comes this Cretan named Bar-Jesus or Elymas, the sorcerer. And Paul, listen to what Paul calls him out, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, oh, full, Acts 13, verse 10, full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil. This is a person he's talking to. And you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So then he goes, and now, because you're doing this, man, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, and not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. Again, this isn't for your, you know, personal entertainment. This isn't, you know, for, you know, your wow, look at this. This is not, for you to entertain your homies with, wow, I put the whammy on that dude and he can't see. That's, you know what, though? Okay, I get that. But you know what? This is a devil. This is somebody that absolutely is standing in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed, being received, and being believed. Foul voice, this foul, inky, black, foul, inky spirit that he's like an octopus into the spiritual realm. And Paul rises up and says, I know exactly what you are. You're of the devil. And he called him out, and he put back on him, and he said, "No, it's not just a matter of me ignoring you or just trying. No, there are some times, my brother, and so I'm not advising you to go around and try this. Ooh, I want to try this one out, see how many people I can smite with blindness. But I might suggest to you, you might learn to pray in your spirit." And there may be a rare occasion, this only happened once, but I see that Paul, when he was being opposed, my point is he hit back. We're all too passive.
Pastors, disciples, ministry leaders, how many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
I remember when I began in Cortez, Colorado, the first outreach that I was able to get, I had witnessed around, but I was able to get a man named Rick Davis, and he's going to meet me on Saturday, and he's going to come with me. It's my first disciple that I'm going to get to lead to the streets of, you know, this megalopolis, Cortez, 7,000 people. And so we park. I say, okay, Rick, there's a guy. Come on. And we jump out of my car. So I'm after the guy. And Rick's like, you know, he's like, he's just trailing. And so I get up and I begin, hey, man, can I give you something that shares the good news about someone that loves you? His name's Jesus. And I want to tell you about Jesus. And so Rick comes up. And I could see I'm talking to the guy. And Rick's here. But I feel like over my shoulder, I feel like this binder. I feel like this cloud that has come in, and so I take a glance, and sure enough, there is a religious devil that wants to argue doctrine, wants to interrupt the witness for this sinner, good sinner, that his soul, the guy's interested, he's open to the gospel being preached, but this guy wants to now engage us, he wants to tie me up. So sinners are going to go passing by that need the gospel, but a religious devil, he doesn't have a burden to evangelize, but oh, he wants to engage a Christian and tie me up. And are you missing? Let's connect the dots. This is a crucial moment in that church. This is where the first guy that's on a public outreach to learn the truth about discipleship, this is his first time to go witnessing, and whammo, right at the onset. Listen, the devil tried to attack the Hebrew babies at Moses' birth, the babies. At Jesus' birth, the babies. There's always an assault at the beginning. You know, when I had pioneering in Cortez, we showed the big two, Thief in the Night and Distant Thunder. There wasn't the big three, the big four. Some of you think I don't. No, it was the big two. And so the first night, there came these two guys. They were the witnesses of the Lord. They immediately popped. When I'm preaching the altar call, everybody, we had about 100 visitors. And I said, and we had an impact team. And I said, bow your heads. And so as I'm looking through the crowd, everybody, There was a grace of God. There was an anointing. People are being dealt with by the Spirit of God. These two guys are sitting up like this, looking at me. And so, you know what Pastor Mitchell taught me? Don't die in the wrong battlefield. And so I just engaged eye contact, and I said, hey, would everybody, in respect to God and respect to your neighbor, would you bow your head? And I looked right at the guy, and I go, would you? And he goes like this to me, okay. So I didn't take the bait. But immediately, upon the altar call, we probably had a dozen people that got saved. He's right up at the place. He's snooping in. And immediately I had to, hey, who are you? And I find out, you know, he's here to correct my doctrine. He's here to, you know, to make sure that I'm not, infecting anybody with the born again. And so, you know what? I told him, buzz off. Take off. You know what? There's the door. Don't let it hit you where the Lord split you. Get out. And he takes off. Oh, well, the impact team goes home. The next morning, Sunday church, and guess who shows up? The two witnesses again. And so again, so what are you doing here, man? You don't belong here. You know what? If you say you're saved, then just go your way. But you know what? You're here to cause trouble. You're here to try to rip off new converts. And my point is that this isn't an accident. This isn't coincidental. It wasn't coincidental in the Bible, and it's not coincidental in 2022. There's still devils that are come and come from the inspiration of hell. The truth is that I can prophesy, if you're going to rise up, you're going to encounter a demonic opposition. And so it was that time that I mentioned that I'm being hit in Davao City, and the Lord truly intervened and taught my hands to fight. You know, Psalms 18:34. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. I understand we're in the New Testament. These are, you know, in the New Testament, it's not flesh and blood. Although, you know what, and again, it's not going to be that I'm going to punch somebody, but you know what, if you're trying to steal souls, if you're trying to cause people who they're in the balance for eternity, their eternal soul is online, and you're trying to defile them, you're trying to deceive them, or you're trying to divert them, I'm going to tell you something, I am going to war back in my spirit against your foul spirit. Am I preaching to God's warriors or what? I'm just getting my anointing. I'm almost out of time. Wow. Let me tell you, you could be the gentlest soul in the kingdom, but God says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. God has given us the spirit of power. That's dunamis, and literally it's miraculous power, it's ability, it's power residing in a thing that God has given. It is power for performing miracles. It is power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. You are a child of God. You are a king and a priest unto God. You are somebody that in the spiritual realm, the demonic forces, they do know us. If you're, you know, the devil had to say, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know. He needs to say, Mark, I know, you, I know, you, I know, you, I know, because you know what? We are anointed of the Spirit of God. We are given genuine authority. It's not some cheap Cracker Jacks, you know, sheriff's badge, but we're given weapons. We're given powerful things that shake demonic kingdoms and can absolutely loose revival in the earth. God did not give you that spirit of shyness. Well, I'm shy. And listen, bro, that may be, you may be a gentle spirit, but God still can put that miraculous dunamis inside of you. So I want to conclude by triggering this. And what God spoke to me changed everything in my perspective. God, when he said, he that touches you touches the apple of my eye, and he spoke this question to me. He said, do you think the enemy touches you with impunity? Now, I'm pretty slow. I had to look that word up, impunity. It means that, you know what, he's not going to touch you and hit you without some kind of a consequence back, without some kind of a penalty back. And I said that God gave me a rhema dump, and he began to just give me all kinds of scriptures and just showing me that he is very willing to enter into the fray on behalf of his own. Have you ever heard the old Italian proverb, the old mafia proverb, you touch of my people, I break of your face. And everything that you thought to do, I'm going to turn around. You know, you have a prime case of Haman in the Old Testament book of Esther, and he's the first Hitler. He wants to eradicate all Jews. And Esther chapter 4, verse 14, Mordecai instructs, my watch is telling me what I found. What did you find? Stop it. I bind you. You know what? Haman wants to destroy all the people, and Mordecai speaks to Esther, and she's like a lot of Christians now. I'm not directly affected by this, but you're going to be, Miss Esther. And he says, if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house shall be restored. Who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? My point, and I highlighted, is that God said enlargement and deliverance will come. It's you have the option. You have the opportunity. But you know what? If you keep silent, you're not going to get anything. But you know what? I'm challenging you. Take the petition to the king. You know what? Esther's the queen. You know what? We're the bride of Christ. We're married to the King of all kings. We have the right to boldly come to the throne of grace. And see, what the if I was a devil, I would be telling you, you know what? That devil or that demonic force or strategy that's trying to oppress you or trying to hinder you from even things like promotion, somebody else always bypasses you, or good things always come to other people, and I would try to get you to feel that's just your portion. God just doesn't want to move, or God doesn't really see your plight. That's a lie. It's a lie. But you know what? Deliverance and enlargement only comes to those that have enough moxie to go in and say, King, I have a petition. This is wrong. What this Haman, this wicked Haman is doing. Oh God, you're the judge of all the earth. You've got to come to my aid. Now listen to this, and you ought to memorize this. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 teaches us something very much in tune with our text. It says this, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You know what? I was at work in Safeway right here in Prescott. There was a guy, and I got hired by a Christian from the church, and he was my friend. But he was the manager on the night crew. And so that guy and I had a relationship. So this other guy, you know what? I didn't do anything to him, didn't know him from Adam, but he took a dislike to me. And so another Christian from our church came and said, hey, Olson, you better watch your back. Scott has been, he's been speaking to the boss and telling the boss that you're a lazy slouch and he needs to get rid of you. And I go, you're kidding me. Are you serious? Now, I'm just married, and I got a kid, and so, you know, it matters. I'd like to get a paycheck. I'm married and have a kid, you know, it'd be nice to have a paycheck. And so I come in the back room, I'm working the graveyard shift, we're stocking the shelves, and I get a whole basket of these boxes. I'm going back to the compactor to put them in, and what we would do is we'd go out and we'd put the cans and stuff on the shelf, and if there was like a dented or broken bag or dented can, we'd get those. And so as I come racing in, because we would race the guys that would cut the boxes, and they used to stamp them with ink stampers or little tags the price. And so I remember I'm just you know, it was just light-hearted, and I came busting through, and I said, hey, you all come out and see me at the Ponte Rosa. And I was just nothing. And have any ulterior motive, nothing. And so next thing I know, the guy starts cursing me. Do you know how to interpret my tongues? I don't blankety blank call you Jesus, do I? And I'm like, what? What in the world? I mean, this is like at about 1 o'clock in the you know, early morning. I know you were all in, you know, really, really just, you know, just really in good moods at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he's got a razor knife, and I got a can of Starkist Charlie tuna. You know, just good for throwing. And I got it in my hand, and he says, I don't blankety blank call you Jesus, do I? And now remember, I just got tipped off a few days before. This guy's been stabbing me in the back. And you know what else? He just touched Jesus. So that was another thing. And I'm about to bean this guy. And I mean, a nanosecond. I mean, it's quivering inside me. It's just like, I know that I'm not afraid to whip this onto this guy. I used to pitch in Little League. I am gonna bean him, as I stopped. And so God dealt with me. And actually what happened was I got convicted, and I went and I said, you know, this isn't right and blah, blah. And I felt like God would have me to go and apologize to him. It's like, I'm not gonna be a doormat. I'm not gonna be, you know, and you know what? This guy thinks I'm a chicken. This guy doesn't think. And so God dealt with me, go apologize. So finally, a couple hours later, I cooled off. End of the day, I went to this guy, I said, I'm sorry. I know I've upset you somehow, and you know what? I just want to say I'm sorry. And I put my hand out to shake it. So he takes his hand, and he touches it, and he just slaps the tip. So instead of shaking my hand and taking the offer of, you know what, I forgive you, he just slaps the tip of my hand. And it's like the whole thing is again. And it's like I'm going out of here. Steam is coming out of my ears. But you know what? I had the smile of God on me. And within a few weeks, this guy lost his job. He wrote hot checks. He went to jail. I found out he lost his marriage. And I saw something that God, I didn't have to fight him. You know what? I'm not trying to tell anybody you have to fight for yourself. But you know what? God heard my cry. God, this is wrong. And the guy's been stabbing me.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
I've had times when there's guys that have messed with the work of God in the Philippines. And this guy, he caused huge upheaval. He tried to be involved in 1990 in stealing the very work of our fellowship. My wife and I gave our lives to go into Davao City. And then this guy pulls out and his brother is involved. And so the plot was unmasked. They were trying to steal the fellowship in the Philippines. And so he lied to me. He lied to me. Like a low down dog that he was. He lied to me. He tried to deceive me and throw me off. When I'm dealing with him straight up, man to man, let's talk about this man to man. He lied to me, and he had evil devices in his heart, and he's a wicked person. And you know what, Tim? I called him, and I said, you know what? I'm on to you, and I'm going to tell you something. I mark you before God Almighty. Don't even ask me what happened to that guy. But I know this, he tried to mess up the work of God. And I'm just telling you that God will take the battlefield. And there is a place, my brother, that you have to enter in. And if you just stay silent, there's no big deal. You know, Moses on the mountain, Amalek's attacking, Joshua, the boys are down there. Moses, when he lifts up his hands, he's got the rod of God. When he lifts it up, he activates it. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, the Lord, our victor, gets activated. When his hands get tired and droopy down, Amalek and their forces begin to get the upper hand. So the point is, Psalms 18, verse 3, write it down. I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. You know what? You gotta invoke. You've got to. It's according to your faith. All the promises of God are available, but they're not automatic. Just like the promised land, God said, you know what? There's much land that you have, and Jesus said these powerful words. He said in Luke chapter 18, "I'm going to tell you that your heavenly Father will avenge them speedily." Nevertheless, will I find faith? When Jesus said, will I find faith when I come back? You know, the connotation there is that God will get into the fray. God will come down to help his people. You know what? There's probably some of you know some women, and their husbands backslid and turned wicked, and then it involves children, and there's wickedness that has gone down that has affected lives. I want to tell you something. God's not blind to it. You know what? We have a voice, and we can speak to God. And I told you that this thing was coming down on me heavy, and I don't have the time to go into it. But you know, we had reached the point of 15 churches out of Davao, and then all hell broke loose. I'm talking about homosexuals were trying to call my house and mess. I'm talking about a serpent came out of the water and came right at my wife and I. 2 days later, a scorpion went up my pant leg. And I'm telling you, bizarre, wicked, and foul, and I couldn't sleep, and I'm all kinds of stuff, and was slammed up against this wall. Two of the different guys that were the next guy out, they had to be set back down because of sin, because of all crazy things they stole, and we busted them. It's like, but two in a row? Oh, wow. And the circuit and the spirits that were just like, wow. And God, I am trying with everything in me, God, to get through this barrier. It's this barrier 15. I can't bust through this barrier 15. And you know what, Tim? God showed me. He said, you know what? I want you to activate my power, call on me, petition me, loose me like Moses invoked him, and he activated the rod of God, and God came into the battlefield, turned the battle around. And you know what? Today, there's over 300 churches out of Davao. Let's bow our heads. You've been very, very respectful and appreciate your attentiveness. You know,